we're in lesson 23 in the book of Ephesians, and we left off in verse 2, so we're turning to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 3. How that by revelation who is he there? Jesus Christ, made known unto me the mystery. Now the mystery means, talk to me a little bit. What does mystery mean?
Secret.
There you go, secret. You need to be able to demonstrate to people when that word mystery comes up that it don't mean mysterious or spooky or superstitious nonsense. It means secret. As we teach the Word of God right and divided, we want to be clear on some things, don't we? We don't want to be like, oh, well, you guys are over here and we're over here. We never seen those things before. We never heard those things before. Get Romans chapter 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Romans 16, 25. And 1 Corinthians 2. Romans 16, 25. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. What is the mystery?
Secret.
Something that was kept secret. What? Since the world began, but now is made manifest. Well, it's not a secret anymore, is it? You don't want it to be. So in Ephesians chapter 3, where we're at is, we want to be faithful to tell a secret, don't we? So do you see how the verses defines the mystery for us? It's something kept secret, right? Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, what's the mystery there? The hidden wisdom, okay? There's something hidden. It is not made known, is it? So it's called a secret. Now, when we compare those verses with verses, you'll find out the definition of the word wisdom. And you need to know that when you go talking with people and you show people that. You take those verses and you say, okay, here, something hidden. You know, a lot of people don't believe one verse. They want multiple verses, don't they? So, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now there's two questions people asked about verse 5, which says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The first issue here is, as is now revealed. I think we brought this question up a couple weeks ago, didn't we? As far as saying, hey, how was it revealed? In other ages, it was not made known. In other words, the mystery was not made known in other ages, and that is another definition of the word mystery. In other ages, it was not made known. Ephesians 3:9 says it was hid in God from the beginning of the world. Verse 5 says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Now, would you agree that's an absolute statement? Mm-hmm. It is a statement, isn't it? It was not made known. And somebody will say like, but then he says, as is now revealed. And they will say that it means that it wasn't made known back there to some degree that it is now. They knew about it, but they just didn't fully understand it. And to the same degree as we do now. You know, have you ever had anybody say that to you? I have. They come up to you and say, well, this mystery was just as hidden God's word back here, but they didn't know about it. Well, now, what does the verse say when you read it? It is not revealed.
Right.
Okay? And how do you answer that? Where you're at? You read Romans chapter 16, 25 through 26, but what is Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1. You need to write Colossians chapter 1, 25 and 26 and Romans 16, 25 beside the verse that we're at in Ephesians chapter 3. Because look, here's what it says, Colossians chapter 1, 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, or for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. That verse there, even the mystery which was hid in ages, there is no degree prior revelation allowable in that verse. If you read that verse in Colossians, there's nowhere in there that would allow any other revelation that we're talking about the mystery. Or Paul would have explained it as it was written aforetime, that type of thing, the mystery. But he don't say that. Romans 16, 25 says, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. So if Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5 is saying that they knew about it, but not to the same degree as that we do today, then that would contradict Romans 16 and Colossians chapter 1. And can I share something with you? There's no contradictions in my Bible. There's contrast. You know what that is? Opposites, isn't it? But there's no contradiction, and people would say that, but it's not. So how do you interpret the scriptures? You do it by verse with verse, and that's what we did. We showed that. Rather that the meaning is to some degree, as it is now revealed, it means not at all. Not at all then, but now. And that's what it's talking about. It was not revealed in times past in God's word about this mystery program. And you know what? Once again, a lot of people would say that because they don't understand the distinct ministry of Paul, the apostle for us Gentiles, the body of Christ, I should say. So they would say, you know, they just don't understand the word of God, rightly divided. They, you know, either rightly divided, wrongly divided, or don't divide at all. And that's where the majority of people are. They don't divide at all. That's just one big word. Now let me ask you something. Yes, sir.
Sometimes they'll say this was a type of the church. You know what I mean? Sometimes in the Old Testament they'll say this is a type. Is that inaccurate?
I believe it is, because types and typologies in the Bible are all through there. But you cannot find this at all in times past. I'm sorry. That's what we're talking about, the consolations. Before we started church, if you look at the constellations of the universe, there's like, I think, 48 of them constellations. But how many zodiacs are they? 12. Okay? And start with a Virgo, that's the Virgin Woman, and the Virgin Mary giving birth, the seed of a woman. And God's plan of salvation was to, and the last one was Leo, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, that's types in the universe that you could see what God was going to work through his prophetic program. But you can't find this. You can't find, and that's why people don't understand about the body of Christ. They say, well, that's a type of body of Christ. No, it's a type of the Christ coming and dying. You know, that type of thing. But it don't say the body of Christ until you get to Paul. Now, once we understand that Paul finished that capstone of Revelation, we might be able to see some things in there that points to what Christ was doing overall. But this program that we're in was not made known. Because the princes of this world have known what they would have not have done. They would have not have crucified the Lord. Go. Let me ask you this. They didn't have... If I say to you this. They didn't have airplanes in George Washington's day as they do have them today. Would that mean that they didn't have as good as planes in Washington's day as they do today? You know what I'm getting at? You see? Or would it mean that they didn't have them at all in Washington's day? We know that, don't we? So it's like, oh, that's too simple. Well, it's true. They did. So it would be saying that if they didn't have them at all, then, but they do now. In George Washington's day, they did not have airplanes, did they? Mm-hmm. But today, what they do today, We understand how that came about.
Yeah.
But as that is why the is the way as is used in Ephesians chapter 3, 5. It is not used in the sense of degrees. It is used in a sense of not at all. Ephesians 3, 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed. It wasn't then, but it is now. Now the other question that you get will be the rest of Ephesians chapter 3. As it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. People will say, see, the other apostles and prophets had it revealed to them. It was not an exclusive revelation given to Paul. That's a valid point, isn't it? You know, as far as apostles and all that stuff. It was a revelation given to the other apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Therefore, it isn't exclusive given to Paul. But look at the rest of the verse. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. How?
By the Spirit.
By the Spirit. How was it revealed to Paul in Ephesians 3:3?
Directly.
He had by made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore. Who made it known to him?
Jesus.
Okay. The Lord Jesus Christ communicates it to Paul. And Paul goes out and preaches it and other people hears it. Right? That's how it was done. So does these other people get it from Christ?
From Paul.
They got it from... They got it from Paul. And Paul preaches the word of God to them, and God, the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, reveals it to them. See?
The Holy Spirit's saying to them, this makes sense of what Paul's saying.
Yes.
Isn't that the same as us?
Yes. And then, you know, I got thinking about some things when I started recognizing this. Okay, now you could walk into some big denomination church and walk in there and start sharing this truth. How many people would say, praise God, hallelujah, this is what I've been looking for, you're right. Very few. So I'm thinking, would God the Holy Spirit reveal to you error and make it truth for today? You know, we heard that thing, you know what I'm saying? Because think about this. We always say this. The Holy Spirit inside you will not work off the
basis of ignorance.
And if you're trying to feed it error, I believe it sits there, hungry, starving, like, give me something. And then when you get this word in you, guess what that doctrine does to the spirit, the inner man? It starts feeding, it starts coming alive, and your eyes open up, and it's like, yeah, I may not understand it all, but this is true. So I'm scratching my head about that when the Holy God, the Holy Spirit, comes and teaches you. Is he not the teacher? Mm-hmm. So would he teach you error? Or do you...
He'd guide you into all truth.
He'd guide you into all truth. And what does he do? We teach error. I want to believe error because it wants to line up with what I want to believe.
Richard, on Thursday of last week, he was teaching body. Spirit, soul, and body. And he was teaching how, when the spirit was the word over here, the different phases.
As it worked through it?
As it worked
yeah.
through it. That was excellent.
And so in Ephesians, you was in Colossians 1, right? Verses 2. Colossians. Yeah, verses 2, verses 7 and 8. First Colossians.
Chapter 2, verse 7 and 8.
Yeah.
First Colossians or second Colossians?
First Colossians, thank you. For some reason, I can't get that out. First Colossians, chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Okay. Verse 5 was read. Verse 6 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would have not what? Crucified the Lord. That verse right there demonstrates that prior to the crucifixion of Christ, it was impossible for anybody to have known this. It was not revealed.
Chapter and verse.
You're in Corinthians.
Corinthians.
You said First Colossians. About three times.
That's why I messed up.
Yeah.
It's First Corinthians. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking First Colossians. That's what.
First Corinthians
chapter 2, verse 7, 8. You was there earlier in verse 5 and 6. I'm sorry. I'm thinking.
False teacher.
You should say no, preacher. But you did. But anyway. But you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That verse right there demonstrates that prior to Christ's crucifixion, it was impossible for anybody to have known that. And boy, when you show people that, I remember my dear sister, when I showed that, she said, I've never seen that verse before. Because this is serious. This message that we preached, the death, burial, and resurrection, and the mystery program, it was not revealed. Prior to the crucifixion, there was absolutely impossible of anybody knowing about the secret. Now, who's the secret hid in? God. It was not in hid in His Word. I'm totally convinced that if it was hid in His Word back here somewhere about what we're talking about in Ephesians, Satan would have picked it up, not have crucified. That's what that verse says. Mm-hmm. Now, you can find all through the Bible that He's come and be born of a virgin. He's going to grow up and die. You can find about Him dying and all that stuff. That was no mystery. What He's revealing to the agency of the body of Christ to take over the heavens, that's the mystery. And you heard me say this 1,000 times, if not 1,001, that when the Lord Jesus Christ, when He went up on that mountain, Satan was there. And Satan offered Him the kingdoms of the world if they bowed down. The Lord Jesus Christ did not rebuke him and say, you should bow down to me. He didn't. Because even if the Lord Jesus Christ did, and Satan gave Him the kingdoms of the world, which God gets the kingdoms, Jesus Christ gets the kingdoms of the world over in Revelation, Satan still had the heavens. So he would still be above God. Mm-hmm. That's his whole purpose, to be above the throne room of God and be as God. You know what? He believes that. You know that? And he's got other people believing that. But they say, well, okay, after the Holy Spirit comes, these guys get it, but they just didn't get it as much as Paul. Right? I mean, you could say, well, Peter knew it. James knew it. No, they didn't, did they? But notice Paul says, I got it from Christ. And these guys got it from the Spirit of God after Christ gave it to me. That's what he's basically saying in Ephesians. You back over in, stay in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Got it right that time. And he says, Christ first gave it to Paul. And then and these people get it as the Spirit of God illuminates their mind under the teaching of ministry of Paul. Verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear have heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them to us, hadn't He? How?
By His Spirit.
By His Spirit. You see that, don't you? The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit takes these truths that Christ communicated to Paul, and through Paul preaching and teaching those doctrines and preaching and teaching others, the Spirit of God confirms that these other people. And the apostles and prophets are a part of them. Now you can argue about who's the apostles and prophets in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. But some will say it is the 12, and some will say, no, it's the ones that was chosen after the ascension. We looked at that already. But regardless of which way you do that, the issue is that Paul gets things directly. What did we find out in Galatians chapter 1? Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certified you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For neither received it a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. I believe that verse teaches me that Paul did not get it from any man. And who would have been the men out there preaching something about Jesus Christ in that time's past?
Peter, James, and John.
The 12. And would they not have been God commissioned them to go in all the world and preach this gospel of the kingdom. Not this gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. And then all of a sudden, Paul comes on the scene when they took him under the wing and said, "Hey, Paul, you got to teach this. But he don't do that. We know the issue in Galatians. He says, "Neither I went up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned into again to Damascus." The minute that he got saved, he went. And he stayed gone for like 14 years. He didn't go back over here. So, you know, people can argue that. The gospel which was preached to me was not after man. It was not a revelation from him. Rather, it was a personal face-to-face teaching ministry by Jesus Christ to Paul. Lord Jesus Christ struck him down on the road to Damascus. He didn't have an altar call. "Come as you are, Paul. Come up here and repent and be baptized in remission of sins." He didn't do that. He struck that man down and said, and Paul said, "Lord, who art thou?" Well, Paul knew who God was. He was preaching it. He had threatened letters against Jesus Christ. And he says, "I'm Jesus Christ. Why do you kick against pricks?" You know the story. You can kick on all day long. It's going to hurt. So the mystery of those, you need to know how to handle those things when it comes against you. And occasionally you'll run to people and they'll do those little tricks concerning those verses. But you compare verses with verses and show them this was not hid in God's word. This was not, Abraham didn't know that. There's no way he could have known that.
Well, their focus and intent was kingdom on earth.
Yes, sir. And that has nothing to do with the heavenly places. See, and what was there to pray? "Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." They're to pray for that heavenly kingdom to come down. Y'all know that.
Why do they do that in churches? In other words, there's a song that we sing. No. Other churches.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done.
Well, it's just something they believe to be right in there, and he never told the apostles to preach that or teach that. The Lord's Prayer is not that. But keep going. Now the mystery, you're in Ephesians chapter 3. The mystery is identified for you, its contents in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same bodies and partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ by the gospel. In other words, by the fact that Jesus Christ died at Calvary, paid for our sins, and the preaching of the cross, that's what we preach, isn't it? For those who perish foolishness, but to us to believe it's the power of God. Preaching the cross, the preaching of all that was accomplished there. You only find that through Paul, guys. That's why when Ephesians over, by the cross, remember Ephesians 2? It wasn't at the cross. It's by the cross. And Jesus Christ, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become fellow heirs in the same bodies and partakers of the promise by the what? Gospel. Now there's a prefix added to one of those words there. Fellow heirs. Same body. Partakers. Now, you know me, I ain't going to put the English back into Greek, but that prefix son, that means together with, one with, equal with, a joint union. And that prefix is put on each one of these three words there, heirs, fellow heirs. Body, the same body, joint body, equal body. Partakers of the promise, joint equal partakers in who? Christ. In other words, they're totally equality among believers today. We should say praise God, hallelujah, because that's how He sees us. We may not see each other that way, but He does. No longer is there advantage or disadvantage. Who had advantage back there in Ephesians chapter 2? The Jew had advantage, but the Gentiles didn't have no advantage. It was a disadvantage. The division between circumcision and uncircumcision. But now in Christ Jesus, there is total equality. Jew and Gentile placed together. In fact, notice that verse 6 doesn't say anything about the Jew, does it? So what does that say?
You're
Everybody's the same, thank you. Everybody's a Gentile. That's happened back there in Galatians chapter 2. It was Acts 15 when they shook. If you wasn't in that kingdom program when Paul came along, then you was a heathen. That's why he says, hey, we'll go to the circumcision, you go to the heathen. They looked at the non-Jew, non-believing Jew, the same as a Gentile, as a heathen. So can a Jew become a member of the body of Christ today?
Yes.
Yes, sir. It says Gentiles, don't it? Do you know that what, folks? Israel has lost their status today. Okay? The word Gentiles means nations. Israel's just one of the nations now. They have no national advantage today before God. It doesn't do them any good to trust in the Messiah over here. Because he's already came, hasn't he? He came and died for all. The reason he omits the Jew in Ephesians chapter 3 is not to take a Jew and say he can't get saved, but it's just to say the believers from any nation, included Israel included, can get saved. That's total equality today. When God says he's with peace with the world today, you know he's reconciled his enemies to God? Corinthians 5 says that. It don't say they're saved. But God don't have no enemies today. So he's got a peace. That's what Paul says, grace and peace, grace and peace. The reconciliation, the enmity that was hatred between God, the Creator, and the people of the world, he says, I'm at peace at right now. But you got to be careful. That don't mean they're saved. Reconciliation is not justification. With me? I think we mentioned that back in the Roman studies. But dispensationally, they are no big ones and no little ones before God. All spiritual, when it comes in and trusts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it carries him right into body, and they become spiritual oneness. Now, I got attacked down there last weekend with one guy, because if I said it in error a couple years ago, I apologized to him, but I told him that the Israel and the land today is not the same Israel of the Bible. And he jumped on me about 1948, and God put them there, and they are, and I'm like, no, sir, we just got to sit down and talk a little more. I know today, if God says there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile, and I understand where he's at, though, don't get me wrong, I understand where he's at and what he's been taught, but everybody in the world today is a Gentile, according to God, according to this right here, they're amongst the nations. Now, Israel, was they supposed to be reckoned amongst nations? No, we saw that before. But check this out. If you have an NIV or any other versions, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6 says, the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. What does yours say?
Fellow heirs and of the same body.
See, they don't put, other versions put Israel in there. Guess what they did? They just made you part of Israel. Mm-hmm. God's not, yes sir.
Okay, it says partakers of his. His would be God the Father. Partakers of his promise in Christ. Isn't that right?
I believe you're right.
And his would his promise. And what would that promise be that you're going to be?
Joint heirs, fellow heirs, and we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, the mystery. Now, isn't that the thing is, heirs together with Israel, you can't use an NIV and maintain a mid-Acts position there. So it weakens your position. But I'll run on back, going through that. Now notice three things in that context right quick. We might not get it today, but we'll get it next. But think about this for a minute. Notice three things. The actual contents of the mystery by the gospel, by the cross. Ephesians 2:16 says, and that he might be reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross. Here is what the cross accomplished for us. We are made fellow heirs. We are joint heirs with Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And what do you inherit?
Same thing Jesus Christ.
Don't you inherit the inheritance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are fellow heirs of the inheritance. What's Ephesians 1:14 says?
Fellow heirs
which is the inheritance of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We get the inheritance right up front with God. Okay? We got an inheritance. I know my children's waiting on inheritance. They'll be waiting a long, long time. But in Christ, hey, you already got it, don't you?
Amen.
You know, you got unsearchable riches. You got the riches of Christ. Galatians 3. I'll read these to you. Well, go to Galatians 3, 29. Galatians 3, 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 4, 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see that? Mm-hmm. Heir of God through... Now turn back to Ephesians chapter 3. And of the same body. In other words, we are equal, joint, fellow members of the same body, members of the joint body. When he talks about the same body, he is talking about the one body in Christ. Okay? That's the same body. And we participate equally in the body of Christ. The body of Christ, of course, is in the verse, is the body of Christ. Same as we look at Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, 4, 4. He's talking about the body of Christ. That's what you're a part of. You and I are not a part of our own bodies. You can't become my body. I can't become your body. So who you are? We're jointly, equally participating in the body of Christ. You don't participate more than I do. We're all blessed equally with equal membership. But you know, of course, if you're part of an organization, most of us would not be equal, right? If we was taking tests right now, think about it. Some of you will probably get ace it. Some of us may get C. Some of them might not even turn in a blank sheet of paper, you know. That's not what it's, we wouldn't be equal that way. But in Christ, we are. We members of the joint bodies and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, we're joint partakers of His promise in who? In Christ. That verse isn't difficult to understand because, you know, you thought you didn't get any promises, but in chapter 2, verse 12 says that we were strangers from the covenants of promises. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And is that true?
Yeah.
Was that true?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. And you were, but not in Christ. When you're outside of Christ, without this dispensation of grace, you are strangers. But now God has changed all that, and you're partakers in the promise in Christ. And you got in Christ by grace.
So is it the covenants of promise? We're partakers of?
No, we wasn't.
We weren't.
Yeah,
but in the body of Christ.
But in Christ, we have the promises in Christ, not so much the covenants of promises. Whatever is God promised, God the Father promised, God the Son, we are in that. Same as Israel, when they enter the promises of God, the covenants and the promises, they're in Christ, but on earth. And Galatians 3:22 says, but the scriptures have concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. The promise of what? He is talking about the promise of eternal life. That's the promise in Christ. You're going to live forever. And we looked at Romans 4 in the past and we saw that the wisdom of God is providing eternal life for us, and how the God knew ahead of time when He planned to do that for us. Therefore, He justified Abraham in a unique, special way. How did He justify Abraham again?
By faith.
Was it in circumcision or uncircumcision?
Uncircumcision.
You got to remember that. By faith, Abraham believed God. He didn't have to do anything. And that's how we can call him Father Abraham, and that's the wisdom of God working that way. The hidden wisdom of God.
I think it's interesting that when it comes to the promise, it said it's singular, partakers of his promise.
Not promises.
Right.
Titus 1:2 says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And the promise God made Abraham about eternal life and the promise that we're participants of today in eternal life is something that God promised in himself to do in eternal past. That's why that body of Christ right there, if you think about it, it was hid in God before the world began, and he promised that he was going to take care of that. Did he know Satan was going to blow a fuse? You know he did. Did he know Adam's going to fall? But he let him make that choice. And that's why God never violates our free will. See, and so Adam had a choice, and he could have said, nope, I'm not going to do it, but he did it. And if God stepped in and said, no, you can't do this, that would have violated Adam's free will. Mm-hmm. And our participation in that in verse 3 is manifest in due time by preaching committed to Paul and our participation in the ministry program. I'm going to leave off right there, and we'll pick up next week with those other questions. Father, once again, we thank you for the things you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.